Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is November 14th. I'm Steven Mosso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. In today's episode, I'm going to be recapping the Week 10 games. How did my predictions go? They went pretty bad, I'm not going to lie. And then just kind of the highlights around the NFL and what I think of certain things moving forward. So to start it off, how were my predictions this week? Well, they weren't that good. I went 9-5, but man, who was going to predict the Browns to beat the Falcons? If you predicted that, you are a genius, you are a genie, you're a savant, you are the chosen one. There is no other way to describe it. I did not see that one coming. Or you're just a huge Browns fan. I have no idea, but that was a major upset to me. The other one was the Bills destroying the Jets. I did not see that coming. The Titans beating the Patriots, like, that was a little bit shocking to me. And then I picked the Lions to beat the Bears. That one wasn't too big of a shocker. I actually chose the underdog in the Lions, and that one, they ended up getting destroyed by the Bears. So to start it off, the first game I'm going to talk about is the Green Bay Packers and the Miami Dolphins. And as always, if you want the more in-depth version, you can listen to the episode before this. I go in more detail about the game between these two teams. Of course, this is a Dolphins-focused podcast, so that is the reason. I'm just going to skim over a lot of the points I touched on. Yesterday, the Dolphins lost this game 31-12. Again, Miami was unable to score a touchdown offensively. It was another poor outing from Brock Osweiler, who had a pick and 213 yards. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, he didn't really have a spectacular day, but that was not needed because Aaron Jones dominated with 145 yards on the ground, 9.7 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. Devontae Adams also had 2 touchdowns in this game, only 57 yards. But like I said, the passing game was not even really needed with the struggles of Miami's offense and with the ability to pound the rock at will the entire game. It was not really needed to have Aaron Rodgers just slinging the ball around too much in this one. That was a very clear victory for the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Browns and the Falcons, this was one of the games I was talking about. The Browns ended up winning 28-16 against the Atlanta Falcons. It was a big day for Baker Mayfield. He said after the game that he woke up feeling dangerous. Well, he went 17-20, 216 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It was overall just a very efficient performance from Baker Mayfield, but it wasn't all him. He had help from the running game in this one. Nick Chubb finished the game 176 yards rushing on 20 carries. That is 8.8 yards per carry. He had a touchdown, which was a 92-yard scamper all the way to the end zone. It was a huge game from those two rookies. But you also must give a shout out to the Browns defense. They are playing terrific. There are so many young guys on this team that I think the time to make jokes about the Cleveland Browns, I think it's over. I think you missed your chance. If you want to get those jokes out, it's done, because no one can deny how good the future looks for these Cleveland Browns right now. We look over at the Atlanta Falcons side of the ball. A pretty good day from Matt Ryan, but boy, did he have to throw the ball a lot. He was 38-52, 2 touchdowns, 330 yards, no interceptions. And Tevin Coleman, who has been kind of a focal point for this offense, wasn't able to really get anything going on the ground. He finished with 44 yards rushing. Julio Jones, as always, was consistent. He had 107 yards, but he did have another touchdown. So let's give him a round of applause for Julio Jones, another touchdown. Your fantasy owners are rejoicing right now. That is something that they have been wanting to see this season very badly. Now we move on to the next game. The Chicago Bears were able to defeat the Detroit Lions by a score of 34-22. Mitch Trubisky, again, is looking really efficient. Really, man, I need to stop doubting this team's offense, because Trubisky finished 23-30, 355 yards, 3 touchdowns. No interceptions. Trubisky is really coming along fine. I said I thought he was going to regress more to what we saw last year, but he is really taking that next step, showing that he can do this consistently over and over again. The rushing attack was not there for the Bears in this one. Their lead rusher was Jordan Howard. He finished with only 21 yards, but man, when you're getting that kind of performance from Trubisky, you don't really need it that much. The lead receiver was none other than someone who I benched in fantasy football, because that's how it typically goes, but Allen Robinson coming back from an injury. I don't think a lot of people expected him to be this productive, but yet here he is. He finished the game 6 catches, 133 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had a long of 36. Now, Anthony Miller is also really taking advantage of the targets that he's getting because he had 6 in this game. He had 122 yards on 5 catches, and he also had a touchdown. He is looking good. Trey Burton didn't really have as big of an impact as he usually does. Still finished with 40 yards. From a fantasy perspective, you're still going to have to gut it out with him. We look over to the Lions side of the ball. Matthew Stafford, once again, was throwing the ball a lot. 25 for 42, 2 touchdowns. He also did have 2 picks, though. Kerryon Johnson and the whole running game for the Lions was also not really getting anything going. He finished with 3.6 yards a carry, 51 rushing yards. Again, not too impressive. That's something that they have been wanting to fix for years now. The receiving game was led by Kenny Golladay for the Lions. He had 6 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, only 55 yards. So it's kind of unclear, I think, at this point, which one is their lead. Of course, Marvin Jones is the easy one to say. He is going to be approached as if he is the number one receiver. He has more experience. He is, I think, a little bit better. But Kenny Golladay, the way he's been getting touches, the way that they are looking at him, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season, it looks more like Kenny Golladay has taken over that number one role in Detroit, but we'll have to see how that pans out. Theo Riddick had a big game, 60 yards receiving, but usually, typically, when I think Theo Riddick is having a big day, that means the Lions are playing from behind, so that's not something that I think they want to hear too often. Now, we move on to the next game, the Bengals and the Saints. The Saints ended up destroying the Bengals 51-14. That's a game that I projected correctly because I think it was really easy to predict. The Bengals offense, first of all, looked very lost, if I had to describe how they were, without AJ Green. You can really tell that he runs their offense. Basically, you can say whatever you want about Dalton being the quarterback. That offense is very much, at least right now, led by AJ Green. He is a focal point. He makes Andy Dalton more than Andy Dalton makes him, and I don't think anyone's surprised by that. So he was absent for this game. They leaned heavily on Tyler Boyd, and Boyd had 65 yards on 3 catches. Joe Mixon for the Bengals looked pretty good out there, but again, they had to abandon the run. You're looking at that score, you're thinking, holy, we cannot afford to run at all. He got 61 yards on the ground, 5.5 yards a carry. Joe Mixon looks terrific. But we pan over to the other side of the ball where all the action was. First of all, the Bengals defense looks terrible. Second of all, this Saints offense looks incredible. Drew Brees, 22 for 25, 265 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Drew Brees is looking really, really good. And then you have the Saints rushing attack. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, you never really know who is going to be the guy in this one. Mark Ingram had 104 yards rushing. Alvin Kamara was slightly behind with 56, but you can never really count Kamara out because he's going to get you that receiving yard. He had 46 receiving yards. It was really just a dominant performance by Mark Ingram. Michael Thomas had a pretty solid outing. It wasn't a huge game like he had last week, but he had 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of the touchdowns, though, beautiful catch. Until you see the replay, it was not a catch. It shouldn't have been ruled a catch. It didn't really affect the game too much, though. But if you look at the replay, he dropped it. I'm sorry, I just have to say it. But again, the Bengals defense bad. The Saints look like they are unstoppable right now, especially after that win against the Rams. They are on quite a run right now. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Patriots and the Titans. The Titans ended up destroying this team. The Titans won 34-10 against the Patriots. It was one of those games for the Patriots, like the one that when they played the Detroit Lions and they lost, that you could tell, like, this team is not, they're playing lazy. They are playing like they don't know what they're doing. And that is a very hard thing to say about the Patriots. And I'm not using that to devalue what the Titans were able to do. But the Patriots just look like nothing they were going to do was going to work. And that's kind of how it panned out for them. On the ground for the Patriots, that's where a lot of their struggles came. It is really clear how much they rely on a running game, despite Tom Brady, of course, being the focal point as always. But Sony Michel finished this game with only 31 yards rushing, 2.8 yards a carry. Cordarrelle Patterson, 2.8 yards a carry too, only 11 yards. No rushing attack for them at all, but again, they were behind early, going down 17-3 in the first quarter. You look over on the other side of the ball, you got Marcus Mariota, who is a very good game manager. I wouldn't say he dominates games yet, but he is, since last week, he is looking more and more efficient. He is not losing games, which I think is really important. 16 for 24, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks for Marcus Mariota. The running game for the Titans continues to be kind of lackluster, if I had to describe it. It's something that I thought was going to be great heading into the season. Derrick Henry could not really get anything going. He had 58 yards, 5.3 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. Fantasy perspective looks great, but still, if you're watching the game, I don't think Derrick Henry looks too great. touchdown. Lewis, 57 yards, 2.8 yards a carry. He couldn't really get anything going. Offensively, though, the Titans love to target Corey Davis. Anytime they're even near the red zone, they are throwing to him near the pylon. Corey Davis finished with this one, 7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. And truly, Marcus Mariota will feed this guy. So if you have him in a fantasy football league, in a keeper league, this will be a good thing moving forward. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Jaguars versus the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts won this one. Luckily, I predicted this one, thank God. The Colts won 29-26. It was a lot closer than I think the Colts wanted it to be. Eric Ebron just went absolutely off in this game from a fantasy perspective. Man, he just tore it up. He finished 69 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns receiving, but he also had a rushing touchdown. Andrew Luck, like I said, he continues to show why he is the comeback player of the year. 21 for 29, 3 touchdowns, 285 yards, an interception though, not too bad. And then Marlon Mack continues to dominate the carries. He was not having a good one in this one. 29 yards rushing, 2.4 yards a carry. And the Colts just have a barrage of tight ends that they can attack you with. They have Jack Doyle, who didn't really have too big of a role. You had Eric Ebron, who I said went off. And then they have Mo Alie-Cox, who caught another touchdown in this game. And that one-handed beautiful interception he had a few weeks ago was just something that I got hopeful for. I saw it and I was like, okay, this guy has some raw talent. And now I think he is going to be getting more involved. That is an interesting group of receivers out there. T.Y. Hilton finished with 77 yards on 3 catches. You go to the other side of the ball. The Jaguars really wanted to be run heavy with the return of Leonard Fournette. He was not able to get anything going. 53 yards rushing, 2.2 yards a carry. Blake Bortles ended up throwing 38 passes, 26 for 38, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. So it wasn't a bad performance by Blake Bortles. But I would say that they are like the Cowboys in the sense that if they're running game isn't their focal point, that I wouldn't bet on them to win a game. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Chiefs versus the Cardinals. To no one's surprise, the Chiefs won 26-14. What I will say is that it was pretty close in the first quarter, and I'm not saying that to troll, but like, you know, the defense for the Cardinals actually looked pretty nice, and I didn't think that they were going to win, but I said, hey, maybe they can keep it close. And I think this was actually a pretty close game for their standards. It ended up being, you know, not a complete blowout like many expected. Patrick Mahomes finished 21 for 28, 2 touchdowns, 249 yards. Kareem Hunt, 71 yards on the ground. Tyreek Hill, you can never really expect him not to go off. 117 yards on 7 catches, 2 touchdowns for him. You turn over to the other side of the ball. Josh Rosen was throwing it a lot, 22 for 39. 208 yards. He had a touchdown, but he also had 2 picks. David Johnson, probably one of his best performances of the year, came in with 98 yards rushing, 4.7 yards a carry, but he was also picking up a lot through the air, 85 yards receiving for him. So David Johnson fantasy owners can rejoice after that one. He provided a good performance, which they have been waiting to see for some time now. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Jets and the Bills. And this is a game that I thought the Jets were going to win. Personally, I started the Jets defense in fantasy. I said, I'm going to start anybody who's playing against the Buffalo Bills. That was a huge mistake, because who would have thought that Matt Barkley would end up destroying this Jets defense and LeSean McCoy would just end up going off for his best performance all year? Well, the Bills destroyed him 41-10. Matt Barkley finished 232 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. LeSean McCoy, 113 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. Like I said, it was a big game for him. And then Robert Foster, 3 catches for 105 yards. Zay Jones, 8 catches for 93 yards. We look over to the Jets side of the ball. Josh McCown was not how I expected him to be. I thought we were going to see the best version of this Jets offense. Josh McCown did not show us that. 17 for 34, 135 yards, 2 picks. The running game again for the Jets looked efficient, but it had to be abandoned because of the pace of the game and the score. Tight end Chris Herndon ended up leading the Jets in receiving with 34 yards. So anytime your lead receiver has 34 yards, that's going to be an L for you, buddy. That is not how you win games in the NFL. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Buccaneers versus the Redskins. This is going to be one of the most interesting things you hear all week, maybe all season. The score ended up being 16-3. The Redskins beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this is what interests me. The total yards for the Buccaneers was 501. They got 501 total yards and managed 3 points. That is crazy. How does that even happen? That is mind-boggling to me. Ryan Fitzpatrick Again, I don't even, if you're thinking from a fantasy perspective, I guess send the man out there because he's going to rack up the yards, but he did not look too good. Ended up with some costly picks in this game, 406 yards passing though, zero touchdowns, two picks. The rushing game was also looking pretty good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Peyton Barber, 61 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. And then the receiving, Chris Godwin ends up taking a bigger and bigger role each week, seven catches for 103 yards. Jaquizz Rodgers also had 102. He is a guy that you kind of forget is in the league. Then he has a performance like this and you're like, okay, wait, maybe this guy can make a lasting impact. So, and then you turn over to the other side of the ball, the Redskins, Alex Smith, pretty efficient, but they don't demand too much from him. 19 for 27, 178 yards, a touchdown, no picks, just a game manager, what you expect from him. Adrian Peterson, kind of a lackluster day, 68 yards, 3.6 yards a carry. Overall, it was just a game that was dominated by this Redskins defense. Josh Norman had a very nice pick on Ryan Fitzpatrick in the end zone. It was just a good defensive game from the Redskins. You have to love what you're seeing on that defense. Now we move over to the next game, and that is the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers ended up winning this game 20-6 against the Oakland Raiders. Phillip Rivers ended up having 223 yards, two touchdowns, did have an interception. It was a big game from Melvin Gordon, 18 carries, 93 yards, 5.2 yards a carry. He was also pretty big in the pass game, getting 72 yards receiving. So Melvin Gordon, again, just you can never really rule him out. I thought he was going to feast in this one. Keenan Allen had 57 yards and a touchdown. Again, Keenan Allen continues to be probably one of my favorite receivers to watch. Just watch what he does with his feet. It is masterful. You go over to the Raiders side of the ball. Derek Carr, 24 for 37, 243 yards. No touchdowns for this team. Doug Martin, 61 yards. Doug Martin, he is really impressing me right now, at least. I kind of ruled him out after those two bad back-to-back years after he got that nice contract. But now he seems like he is looking a lot more elusive, a lot more explosive, which I think was a big thing for him. So I will say that Doug Martin is looking a lot better, and I would feel a little bit confident, I guess, starting him in a flex role on certain weeks if you need somebody. That's where I would rank Doug Martin from a fantasy perspective. And then we move on to the next game, and that is the Rams and the Seahawks. Another Rams win, 36-31. It ended up being a lot closer and ended up going really down to the wire. Jared Goff, 318 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. What if I told you that Todd Gurley had a good game? Would you believe me? Well, of course you would, because he does every week. 120 yards on the ground, added another 40 through the air. Again, another touchdown for him. I believe that is 13 straight games with a touchdown, which is absolutely crazy. Their receiving game was led by Brandon Cooks, who had 10 catches for 100 yards. A bad thing though for the Rams was that they lost Cooper Kupp for the year with a torn ACL. That was terrible to see. It was like a kind of a non-contact injury. He actually kind of tapped legs with a defender, ended up planting wrong, tore his ACL. He will be out for the year, and he was having a tremendous season. He had just returned from an injury, and then he returns, and now he's gone for the year. So that is really terrible to see. Like I said, just a great season. You look over to the Seahawks side of the ball. Russell Wilson, again, wasn't putting up a crazy amount of yards, but he is still pretty efficient, 106 yards, passing, three touchdowns. Rashad Penny ended up having his arrival game, per se, 12 carries for 108 yards, 9 yards a carry, and a touchdown. Rashad Penny looked great. This is kind of what Seahawks fans were hoping for when they took Rashad Penny, what many thought was a little too early, but maybe in fact he is going to be returning that value now. Tyler Lockett continues to be the lead receiver in this offense, 67 yards and a touchdown. He ended up giving the ball to Floyd Mayweather. I'm not really sure why Floyd Mayweather needs the ball there, but I'm not going to judge him. But I did see a kid right next to him. I'm just thinking, man, like, you know, maybe give it to the kid. I think Floyd Mayweather has quite a bit in his possession already, but you know, I'm not judging him. That is, you know, it's whatever. Now the next game is the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Cowboys ended up winning 27-20. As I said before, I thought the Eagles were going to win this one. I thought they were going to be able to stop the run. That is, in fact, actually not true. Not in this game, at least. I said the Cowboys likely, I wouldn't bet on them winning a game if Ezekiel Elliott is not their focal point and if he's not looking great. Well, Ezekiel Elliott was looking great because he finished his game 151 yards rushing, added another 36 through the air, two total touchdowns. A great game from Zeke. Really showed what Dak can do if you take the pressure off him. He finished 26 for 36, 270 yards, and a touchdown. But there, again, were some throws. I was like, dang, I don't even know if Dak's the guy, just because he makes some horrible throws, some very bad decision-making at times. It really seems like he needs Zeke to be there in order for him to have, you know, just the pressure off of him and him to be able to do more. I don't think of him as a quarterback that can win you a game just yet. You look over at the Eagles side, Carson Wentz had a pretty solid day, 32 for 44, 360 yards passing, two touchdowns. He did have a pick, though. Josh Adams led the role in the rushing game with 47 yards, and he looked very explosive. I'm surprised he hasn't been getting more carries. I think that he is the best back on this team after what I saw, at least in this game. And then a huge game from Zach Ertz, 14 catches, 145 yards, and two touchdowns. If you have him in fantasy football, oh my God, you are rejoicing right now. And then the Eagles lost almost their entire secondary at this point. Now they lost Ronald Darby, who will be out for the year. That is a huge blow to them. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're out of the playoffs, though, just because I'm not convinced about any of these teams in the NFC East. I mean, you look at the Redskins, a team that also has a bunch of injuries and no real star power. And then you look at the Giants, who are just a complete mess despite winning that game. The Eagles are still probably my favorites to do it. The Cowboys, I don't trust them. They don't show consistency. They rely too much on their running game. They have a great defense, though. But if I had to bet right now, I'd still lean the Eagles just because of what they were able to do last year. I'm not going to be one of those people who's really quick to forget what Carson Wentz did. He put up an MVP caliber season. So I won't be too quick to rule them out of playoff contention. It was a tough loss, but you know what? I'm not saying that their season is done just yet. So we move on to the next game, and that is going to be the Giants and the 49ers, the Monday Night Football matchup. And if you want to know how bad my luck is in fantasy football, I told you I benched Allen Robinson. I also benched Nick Chubb. And then I traded Matt Breida right before this game. He ended up having 101 yards rushing and another 31 through the air and two total touchdowns. So yeah, my fantasy football season right now is just completely unpredictable. I don't even know what's happening. The Giants ended up winning, though, 27-23. Eli Manning did not have a good performance despite the win, despite him having three touchdowns. I don't care what anybody says. He did not look that great in this game. Saquon Barkley ended up having 20 carries for 67 yards. One of the rare games where he was stopped. He had four catches for 33 yards as well. As I predicted, Odell Beckham was going to show out in primetime, which he did, 73 yards and two touchdowns. But like I said, he should have had way more. He was open on so many passes, and Eli could not get the ball to him just because he lacked arm strength, or he didn't see him, or he wasn't reading the defense quick enough. Odell Beckham should have had way more yards in this game. He ended up with only 73. I thought he should have had more. And we look at the 49ers side of the ball. Nick Mullins, again, I'm not convinced he's a guy, but you know, as a stop holder, he did pretty good, 27 for 39, 250 yards, a touchdown, two picks. Then I talked to you guys about Matt Breida, a huge day for them. George Kittle continues to be the lead receiver, the tight end, nine catches for 83 yards. And Marquise Goodwin's probably the number one wide receiver on the team. He had 69 yards receiving, four catches. So basically both these teams, they're pretty much out of playoff contention. No one expects them to do much. But what you see on both sides of the ball, you look over at the Giants have immense talent at skill positions. They got Odell, they got Saquon Barkley, they got Evan Ingram. It's truly, truly a shame that they don't have a quarterback right now. And I know they said during the game that, you know, they took the best player available, which was Saquon Barkley. But what you're getting is you're getting a premium running back, a guy who is a star already in this league. But it doesn't matter at all because your quarterback play is so bad. It was kind of just, it's a waste of a season for him. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to put up crazy numbers, but he's a running back. That's just another year that he's going to head towards and build upon for a bigger contract. And what we're seeing with Le'Veon Bell, nobody's going to want to pay the running back the big contract. So what was the point of getting a running back? Just so you can, because you're going to have a rookie next year. The likely scenario is that the rookie is not going to get you to the Super Bowl. A rookie's never won the Super Bowl, so you're not really betting on that. So that's two more years wasted of Saquon Barkley, and then you get the third year. So what I'm saying is maybe you should have gone for a quarterback. There's not really a point in having this really legit running back if your quarterback play is so bad, and that is what I'm questioning. And then you look at the 49ers side of the ball. They also have, I think, a surprising amount of skill position guys. Matt Breida, of course, that they lost Jerick McKinnon, who I think is very underrated. He should be good next year. Matt Breda is looking great. And then you have George Kittle, who I think could really emerge as one of the elite tight ends in this league if he isn't already. At least his production and his numbers would say that he is. So I think once they get Jimmy G back, George Kittle, Matt Breda, Jerick McKinnon, Marquise Goodwin, all they need really is another receiver in this offense. And I think they could be a very good offense. And that is how I'm looking at it. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. Let me know your comments. Please share and subscribe. It would mean so much. You can follow me on Twitter at Shady Steven and at Via The Source. If you want to see more, you can always feel free to reach out to me. And until next time, guys, that's how I'm going to wrap it up. I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.